You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special holiday edition of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, we want you to follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter at CRS Podcast. Clock Radio Speakers is powered by Tumblr. It has our Facebook, our SoundCloud, Link Us to 4th District. What else do we have, Doc? I always forget this every week.
You think we'd have a script at this point. Did you say iTunes?
Yeah, iTunes. Vote and comment. That'd be really cool.
That'd be really good, yeah.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. But more importantly, this week, we have a special guest on the show.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
We're joined by Tragic Hero. What's going on, Tragic?
You, what's going on, fellas? How you doing, Doc? What's going on, Armand?
What's going on? What's goody, right? Right?
Yeah.
I was just listening to Jadakiss album, so I'm stuck in like 2001 right now. So
Okay, that's good. Those are classics, bro.
Yeah, man.
I've been listening to Pusha. His last album, like, was actually crazy.
Yeah, we've talked about that on the show a couple times, like over the past couple months, like once or twice. Like, you know, you put that on and some of those records are still crazy.
You said my name is my name, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that record is actually really crazy. Like, I revisited like about 2 weeks ago, and I was like, man, this album is really, really good, actually.
Yeah, so, man. I'm excited to rumor has it he's dropping before the end of the year.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious. How'd you feel about Untouchable?
I don't think I listened to that one thoroughly. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Okay. Yeah, that's the Timbaland did that one, right?
No, you're talking about the single.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the album. I was like, man, I'm so stupid right now.
Nah, not shit.
No, I didn't listen to it. That's the one that you had to go onto the website and you had to hold the mouse.
Is it?
Yeah, because I remember going, like, it had, like, birds and stuff like that, like the artwork.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, this sounds
like wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay. Well, maybe that's how I listened to it. Yeah, it was dope. I mean, I didn't listen to it again, but I didn't. I would listen to it again. So that's all I remember.
So what are?
Yeah, I was gonna say, Tragic. I'm sure we could sit here and talk about Pusha all day, but first of all, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and congratulate you and Armand along with everybody else, Taylor Gray, 42 North, and David James for the Happy People Show, which just happened this past weekend.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that, Doc. Thanks for coming out too, bro. And a lot. Really did. It was dope to see everybody that came out, supported, and we just had a good time, bro. That was fun. Hopefully we're doing this again real soon. So yeah, bro.
Yes.
So, I was gonna say, go ahead, Armand.
No, go ahead, do your thing.
I was just gonna jump right in and say, like, so for the people who weren't there, who either couldn't get there or whatever the case might be, how did that show come together?
It's something that I wanted to do for a while. And I honestly, like, one thing that I've kind of, like, figured out for myself is, like, if people are not booking you, I figured that out myself. I mean, I've heard it when I was going to, like, A3C, when I heard panels and different stuff. And even when I went to South by Southwest last year, like, if they're not booking you, you got to book yourself and start doing things yourself. And that's what it came down to. Just wanted to do a dope hip-hop show, nothing crazy. Something with a live band, especially with 42 North, and just put it out for somebody. And then Johnny, he's a pastor out there in Allentown. He brought me out one day. He did an outreach, and then like it wasn't really good, just to be honest with you. But I really wanted to show him like, now we can really bring it. But it has to be in the right setting. So yeah, he was more than happy to kind of help us, you know, facilitate the entire thing. And yeah, I just picked some dope artists, and that's it. It's not really much to it, bro.
You make it sound easy. Like, everybody should be putting on shows.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that easy. Even Armand was saying that to me through text. Like, them joints are not easy. Nah, it's not easy. And I don't want to do them all the time, but, I mean, if I have to do it, I'm going to do it. If you force in my hand, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do another one. So I'm going to do if no one books the next one, I'm going to do the next one myself. We're just going to keep doing this until people realize we're just going to keep doing it on our own. So, yeah, bro. That's what it comes down to, bro.
So, like, What was the hardest thing about putting the show on? Did you collaborate with Johnny? Did Johnny sort of head all of the planning and you just kind of focused on the music? Or did you do everything from, you know, booking the venue to just making sure the little details and stuff were taken care of? What was your hand in creating the show? And then also, like, what was the hardest part?
Johnny basically went around looking for venues. We were specifically told him we didn't want to go to a church and do this. We didn't want to make it a church show. You know what I mean? We didn't want to do that. We wanted to play, you know, either at a real venue or our own space. We just wanted our own space to do our own thing. And then he went around. It was supposed to be in the theater at first, but then I saw the way it was set up, and luckily they got booked up, and it wasn't going to work. I liked the way this one looked. He showed me a couple pictures. I was like, yeah, let's go with that one. For whatever reason, I love, like, art spaces. It's just that place was really nice looking. Just a nice backdrop for artists. And I think afterwards, it was, you know, I didn't know how much work it was behind it. Like, I didn't know what kind of sound you had to get. So John from 42 North was like, well, I got the sound guy. I'll let you know what you need. And this is what we can bring. This is what Johnny can bring as far as monitors. This is what you're going to have to rent out. So it was a bunch of that all the way to, like, the week of. And it was setting up, you know, artists, like, reaching out to Taylor, him reaching to you, me reaching out to Dave. Honestly, it was teamwork. And I mean, it was just more coordinated on my end, but it was teamwork. I'm just happy I felt like everybody believed in it, and everybody really kind of saw the vision, and they were like, all right, let's go with it, you know? So yeah. He came all the way from Ohio, which was super appreciated, bro. I can't tell you that enough.
No doubt.
He came out and you murdered. Because everybody was like, yo, man, that dude Armand's good. I was like, yeah, he's all right. But what about me?
Decent. I appreciate it, man. So why those three artists? So why Taylor, David, and myself? You have worked with a who's who in the quote-unquote Christian hip-hop genre, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But, you know, I say that to say you have access to pretty much everybody who's anybody. So why did you choose those three artists in particular for your show?
I feel as though these are artists that may not have been given a fair chance. Not everybody knows about them. And I don't think for me personally, it's not about a who's who. I've learned that real quick. It's not even about, like, who's, you know, the most popular dude. That stuff doesn't really, I mean, to me personally, it really don't. And I know it sounds cliche, but it really doesn't matter to me, like, who's killing it, who's not, who's out there. Like, if I respect you as an artist, like, I want to work with you, you know, whether you're unknown or whether you're really known. That shouldn't have anything to do with art. You know, I mean, if you're a good artist, if you make good art, you should get a chance. You should get a fair shot, you know? So, and once you get that fair shot, you should be able to do something with it. And you should either promote or, you know, or make yourself seem part of, or, you know, it's your opportunity. So I just want to give everybody a fair shot. And I feel like David James is not as known as he should be. He's extremely talented.
Yes, he is.
Same goes for you. Same goes for Taylor. Taylor's been doing this for a while, you know?
Yep.
He's got that. He could probably do his own show, you know?
Yep.
He doesn't need me. Say, actually, you know what? To be honest with you, all of you guys could probably put on your own show and headline to be 100% and kill it. All of you guys have that ability, you know? So yeah. For me, it was just more like an Avengers type of deal, you know?
Yeah.
Just all come together. And even though we're not all, like, super known or well known like that, it's just good art. And at the end of the day, everybody appreciate. It wasn't about, oh, I know this guy, I know that guy. It was all, at the end of the day, everybody said, this was great. This was a great film. It was super positive vibe. Like, we came out here. I connected with everybody. You know, I've heard that several times. I connected with everybody. I loved everybody's set. It was, you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, because this guy's well known, you know, people are all on his, you know, I can't say that, but you know. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not about that. To me, it's not about that. So, yeah, bro. Did I answer that right? Because I know I'm
Yeah, no. You're Nah, you're good.
I have scattered thoughts. So
yeah, you straight. I got mad questions, but Doc, I want to, you know what I'm saying? You got anything, or can I keep going?
You can keep going. I'm going to let y'all go on a roll. This will be the rare podcast where I don't speak that much.
Keep going, H. Okay. So one thing that I noticed about you, well, you came to Columbus with Wes Pendleton last year. And you and him are in a group called The Resistance. Y'all put out a project in 2012 or 13?
That was 2013.
Okay. So y'all put out a project 2013. Now, when you came to Columbus and it was a show, it was you guys, it was Jonathan Baker, it was Taylor, it was myself, it was Kristen Gray. Your set was okay.
What?
But when I saw you perform this weekend, your set was phenomenal.
Right.
So talk to me and talk to the people out there, because I really want to just sort of get an artist's perspective on why you felt the need to focus on your live set, what you did intentionally to make your live set better, and how important a live set is to an independent artist.
All right. First off, I want to say thank you for being extremely honest, and I love that. That's what I look for, like to grow. One thing I look is I always look for critique. Like, I hate when people tell me something's good or something's great, or like if it's great to you, that's dope. I want to know how to get better, and that's one thing I saw. From that time, I think I saw a video from that performance, And I looked at myself, I'm like, this looks boring. This looks really boring. Like, the music is good, but this looks boring to me. And so one thing I set out, after making sure that I put out a solid album, I forgot who I was talking to. I think I told several people this, but I set out to make sure that I was a great performer outside of putting a great product out. So after the great product was put out, I wanted to make sure that I set that goal for myself, to become a great performer. And ever since I put out the album, I've been literally practicing the album. I have bad memory. So you would be able to tell, because I keep practicing. Like, I go to work, I practice, the lyrics in my head. And I just set out to just practice, get my memory. Get my breath control up. I've been working out since the summer, like crazy. And I've been getting my breath up, playing ball, treadmill, just working out more. And I know all those little things play a part into a performance, in my opinion, because I don't think I would have been able to get through a set like that last year when I performed in Ohio. And it was freeing. It was real freeing, because I was able to jump around and still have breath and whatnot and have fun. So. Yeah, my thing was to just practice, look like I'm having fun, interact with the crowd a lot more, talk to them, I guess relax a little bit more, you know what I mean? And I would go to a lot of regular hip-hop shows and just watch, take notes, see what they did good, see what they didn't, take notes, see, try to figure out what they did, that really, livened up the show. And I would practice. I would practice in a mirror. Like, sometimes, like, just being 100% honest. Like, I have a mirror right by my studio, so I'm just trying to make sure that the mannerisms are correct. I work at it, bro. It's not like it's just something natural. Like you said, yeah. Like, it was a big difference from last year. So, if you're serious about your craft, you're gonna work at it. So rather than want to, you put on a show. The worst thing to do is look unprepared. And I think when I was in Columbus, I cringed looking at some of the footage, because I looked unprepared. I saw your performance and you seemed like you're super prepared. I was like, man, this dude, like, either you're a natural or, I'm talking to you, Armand, specifically. Like, either you're a natural or you practice a lot, these sets. So that's one thing I had to get better at, bro.
I put that set together like maybe 15 minutes before I got on stage.
Yeah, like, you see, but you're good at that naturally.
I felt like I sucked. Like, I felt like I did all right, But like, just to see the polish that you and Taylor had, completely convicted me and was like, yeah, I need to get better. But that was good. Mm. That was really, really good. I'm cool with being the worst in a room full of geniuses, a room full of talented people. I have no problem, you know, taking that L and going back and being better. And I think that's what you have to do. You can't really go into it, you know, thinking that you're the best or feeling like you, you know, don't have anything to prove, because you always have something to prove, at least to yourself, if not right. anybody else.
Right.
Doc, are you getting ready to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, for Tragic, I mean, you've been talking about all the sort of effort, really, like you've just been trying to get better and better and better. And does that apply to your singing voice as well? Because one thing that was interesting about the live performance is when you did Winter on the album, you're using autotune. But when you sang live, you, even though you caveated it, like you were like, you know, like you said that you weren't a great singer or something like that. And yet that room loved singing along with you to that song. Have you, so I guess it's like, this can go in a lot of different directions, but I'll just start with, have you worked at your singing voice?
Just to be 100% honest, no.
Okay.
I know I can't sing like that. You know, I'm not. I tell people, like, when they categorize me as a singer, like, no, I'm not a singer. I'm not that. I mean, in regards to, like, getting better, no, I practice, though, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I practice my singing, but I don't, like, I'm not purposing my, like, I'm going to be a better singer. Maybe I should. I don't know.
Do you feel...
Maybe that's something I should concentrate on.
When you chose to not just do a song like Winter, but perform it live, do you think it's important to have a song like that where you can sing, like, in terms of appealing to a wider audience? Or was that just a stylistic choice? Like, I wanted to make a record that sounded specifically like this. Like, are you going to keep singing?
Honestly, yeah. Like, I don't know.
Okay.
When I did that song, it was something that came up. I was playing around with pre-production. I was just kind of like playing on the piano when that came out, and I just kept singing it and singing it and singing it and singing it. I finally laid it down on a voice memo. My little brother came and he played a guitar, acoustic guitar, and we just kept, it was just so catchy, you know? So a lot of times I write hooks, and they could either be catchy, they could be rap hooks, it could be, you know, singing hooks. And I love that hook. That seemed to really like captivate people. So, you know, I brought it to Wit and we created a song out of it. But yeah, I really don't know what, I can't say what's in store next. I can't say if I am, if I'm not going to. I'd rather leave myself open to it. So,
because I'll tell people about this. Hopefully Armand doesn't mind. Like when you were doing that performance, Armand was on the other side of the room. I texted Armand because I caught him and Taylor were both like watching you sing and the audience sing along to you, and I could see. I could just see the wheels turning in their mind, and I was texting Armand joking like, "You're singing on the next album, aren't you?" And he was like, maybe a little, because I feel like you know, regardless of it, I mean, you know, it seems like you are not clearly 100% confident in your voice yet, but having a record right. like that in your arsenal, so that when you do a live show and you're sort of trying to get like changes, if you want to like slow it down, especially if you did a high energy record and just to pace yourself, you're like, okay, I was jumping around, now I need to slow it down. It's
yep.
You have that versatility where you can do that.
Right. And it's exactly what I did, bro. Like I was like, it was hip hop, a little faster hip hop. It was go hard and it was turn up. And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, Winter. And it was like, yeah, that was a break. You got it. You observed it.
Yeah.
You got it. So, that's
exactly
what it was.
I think one thing about you that I learned is between, if you listen to The Resistance and then you listen to My Own Worst Enemy, one thing about your writing is that you say a lot with very little. Is that an intentional thing? You know, with The Resistance, you're really rapidy, like really rapidy rap. And then with this, like, you still sort of have that cadence. And I just think that's your style, but it's clearer and it hits harder.
Right.
Is that something intentional?
I was intentional about saying less, about saying more with less words. I was very intentional about that. I didn't want to be a rippity rapper. Like, I wanted to be diverse, you know. I don't want it to. I know how people view The Resistance, So I also wanted to kind of change the style up a bit, pace-wise, with my own worst enemy. And I think it worked. And honestly, it was a lot of that. I got to credit Wit and Wes, because they would tell me to kind of slow down. Because I love just going on stuff and just attacking it and just, you know, trying to rip it to shreds and stuff like that. But because, like, so many people already do that, it's like, well, you're not proving anything to anybody. So why don't you just make good music and you know, slow it down so that people can really enjoy what you're saying. And plus, that's kind of a mentality for, that's like a battle rap mentality in a sense, yeah. Not a songwriter mentality. So when you go and approach an album, you should really be concentrating on being effective with what you say, more than just trying to do a bunch of, you know, punchline. I don't know. You shouldn't really focus on being aggressive. You should focus on making songs, you know.
Right.
So that's what you might have heard on My Own Worst Enemy. Just me being more intentional about using my words wiser and pacing myself.
Yeah, definitely. You got something, Doc?
Yeah, I want to, this question can really be for both of you, but we'll start with Tragic, obviously. So I want to talk about, or actually I'd love to hear you two talk about, sort of where you're at in terms of like how you feel about being an indie artist right now. And Tragic, you know, preparing for the show, I saw an interview that Rapzilla did with you, I think at South By. And
okay. And
they asked you, you know, they're talking to you about it. And at that time in the interview, in the video interview, you were saying, you know, you have that you felt like you had options for major label, you know, to sign to a label, or you might go indie. You hadn't really decided. But hearing you talk about wanting to, you know, like if nobody's booking you, you got to book it yourself, like, I feel like if you're going to succeed as an independent, you have to be willing to put your career in your own hands and not wait on anybody. Like, is that sort of your approach?
That's exactly my approach. That's how my mindset. That's how my mindset is. No one's going to give you anything. I think in the very beginning, working with different artists, I didn't know that. I was, you know, I kind of thought everybody was kind of like buddy, somebody will help you out here. Now, and honestly, like, I mean, you shouldn't have that. Even if you're buddy with somebody, you have to fight for everything. You have to fight for everything that you get, everything that you have, you got to fight for. You know what I mean? If you got this, like, dope beef from this one producer, you know, you fight for it, you make sure you make it the best song ever and make sure that producer remembers you. If you have a show, you make it the best show ever, because that could be your last show. You know what I mean? So for me, it's having an indie mindset. And I mean, personally, I do have options. I mean, we just got another two options the week before last week. It wasn't an official offer, but it was definitely an inquiry. Inquiries about my situation and what they can offer. But in the meantime, I just want to build up my own situation. Just keep building it up until the right situation comes my way. So, like, basically, I can wait around for a deal, but in the meantime, I'm going to be building my value up, whether it's through live shows, whether it's through another project, whether it's through my building up an email list. I'm going to keep building my own situation up, and I'm going to continue to have that mindset, you know. No one's going to give you anything out here, you know. You have to fight for it. So that's my mindset, bro.
Yeah, but, you know, like, everybody loves each other. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody holds hands and sings songs and, you know, we're all in this together. Is it, because somebody could take what you say and almost say that it's like a selfish thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
bro, I don't care about that, though. I really don't. Like, I don't care what people say. At the end of the day, people going to say one thing in front of cameras and our interviews and do the complete opposite behind closed doors. Like, I'm not trying to hear that. I already know how it is. I know how the game is, you know? So you gotta work that way. I'm not even here trying to be like, trying to play tough. I'm just trying to learn. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know, you know, one thing people say is, oh, everyone's, you know, holding hands and doing each other favors and stuff like that. Now, people are not gonna do nothing until you hop. Until they see you doing, you know, until you start, you know, making some noise on your own, then people start hitting you up. People start saying you're doing well, they'll hit you up. Tragic got on block, they start hitting you up. Only the people that are really there all the time for you, that doesn't fluctuate for the real people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Your real friends, like, that doesn't fluctuate. You're always in contact with them.
Yeah.
But you see dudes come out of nowhere. Oh, you're doing this? Oh, man, how you been, man? Even though, you know, you had a disagreement with them last time. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that just comes with the territory, bro. I don't care what genre you're in. It is what it is. People are always out for themselves. So you just got to protect your own, that's all.
Yeah.
And you, Armand, I mean, sort of, is that how you see it?
Real fast, I don't sound, I'm sorry. If I sound jaded, I'm sorry.
No.
No, you don't at all. I asked that question sort of like rhetorically, just in a way to dispel that you are, that somebody could even say that you do sound bitter or jaded or anything like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'm not just giving you a heads up. I just, like I said, this is just me learning in the process and making sure other artists know, you gotta work for yourself.
Yeah.
You ain't depending on nobody to put you on.
I think a lot of people just sort of come into music and especially like doing music, like as ministry or just period. Like they come into it very wide eyed and, you know, just expecting things to just happen and doors to just open. And they get slapped in the face a couple of times and they realize that that's not how it goes at all. And, you know,
or it actually happens for certain people.
Right. Right. So they assume that because it happened for them, that that's the way it's going to happen for you. Absolutely.
Or it happens for certain people and they have to behave a certain way and be a certain way to get to where they are.
Yeah.
And if you're not like that, then don't expect the same results.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, what were you saying, Dot? You said what?
Well, I was going to say, you know, so how Tragic describes, you know, sort of wanting to succeed as an indie artist and having to go out and get stuff on your own. Is that your experience? Is that your sort of thought process as well?
I'm that way to a fault. Mm. Like I'll do so much on my own that I won't even realize that people are asking or people are offering help.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll look back in retrospect and be like, well, dang, I should have took that opportunity or I should have cultivated that relationship because it would have been beneficial relationally and it would have been beneficial, you know, for my career. You know, I'm one of the only cats in Columbus. Well, not the only. Well, I'm not going to say that. But I will say that I put on shows in Ohio enough. Then the last show that we did, it was myself, Taylor, and another singer by the name of Renee Dion. We packed the place out. Like I booked too small of a venue. Like people were outside and had to sort of gradually come in. I think that you sort of have to take that mentality because only you know what you want. And people can only offer what they have. And you can't be mad if I ask Tragic for a dollar and he gives me an apple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, did he give me what I want or did he give me what he had? You know what I'm saying? And so what's the focus? What he gave me or the fact that he offered something? You know what I'm saying? So I think you just have to sort of focus on, you know, your vision. And I think that you will intentionally go out and align yourself up with like-minded people who share the burden of your vision. And also in turn, you share the burden of theirs. So it's more intentional and there's more weight behind when you guys make moves together. It's not, you know, I'm not getting on social media and saying, hey, you know, doing verses for the low. And that's cool because that's a part of the hustle. But, you know,
because your brand.
Yeah, that's your brand. So now you're rapping for everybody. And now all of a sudden, you know, your shelf life could have been 5 years and now it's 18 months because now the public is tired of you. So if I give Tragic a verse versus if I give, you know, MC such and such a verse, if I give him a verse, it's going to be like, mic check 1, 2, 1, 2. If I give Tragic a verse, I'm going to want to perform to the best of my ability to make sure that his song is as good as it can be versus, you know, I'm about to kill him on this record. Like I don't, you know, I've never been that guy beyond maybe like friendly competition, but I don't want to get on a track and sort of cannabis cats. Like I really want to go in there and just make it better because I care about what he's doing, you know? So I think that's super important. But let me ask you this, Tragic, because this is one thing that I've noticed just as an indie artist it's sort of a double-edged sword. It's kind of funny, but it's also a little annoying. So now you are trying to do, are you trying to take the Happy People show and like take it to different cities and countries and things like that?
There's different ideas floating around. It really depends on what I can do financially and what promoters can do.
Yeah.
So there's several ideas floating around. I don't want to get into too many specifics right now.
Sure.
I would like to bring Happy People somewhere else. But if it can't happen financially, then I would rebrand it in a sense. If it doesn't work out that way.
Yeah. So how do you feel when people randomly hit you up in your Instagram comments, you know, they at you on Twitter or whatever, and they're like, bring the show here, come to Toronto.
Super annoying, though.
Come to New Hampshire.
Yeah, super annoying, though. Yeah, that's super annoying. Because I was like, okay, great. It's not like I don't want to go out there. Let's make it happen. Like, talk to a promoter or something. Like, you guys are the people, you know? Like, the fans are the people. You guys have, I guess, in a sense, if you want me out, you have a responsibility to make sure that the word is, you put the word out there, you know?
You know, they think you driving a van across the country and you just stop and just rapping.
Yeah, like it's like that easy to put together. It's not. If you want a show, if you're a fan, you want a show, talk to a promoter, you know, or hit me up and let's work together and make something happen. But outside of that, it's not like you said, it's not like I'm driving a van with a bunch with 42 North in the back. Looking for a venue to play at. We all work jobs, so this takes time.
Yeah. So
is that what you're getting at? I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I wanted to put that out there, sort of dispel that, because I wanted people to, you know, people who listen to the show, like, hey, we want Tragic, you know, in our city, in our state, like beyond a request, like let's go through the proper channels to make that happen. But go ahead.
Yeah, talk to your promoters, talk, you know, like get us out there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm getting put it out there right now. I'm not, and I've said this, and I know somebody might crucify me, but it is what it is. I don't want to do a church venue. So if you're thinking about bringing me out to your youth group, it's not going to happen.
And I was going to ask about that. So let me ask that now. So why? Because you're not the only one who does this, or who requests this. So
okay.
What is it about? Yeah, because we're not going to do Tragic doesn't, you know, you're not going to be on Rapzilla tomorrow like Tragic Hero says he doesn't do churches. But there is a mindset and there is a remnant of artists who are believers and whatever type of music they do, whatever. But they are not fans of doing shows in churches. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is?
I don't know. This is my personal reason. All right. So I feel as though you have to like it creates and that limits your freedom as far as your art and your creativity to a degree. Because people are expecting you to say certain things, certain keywords, you know, you're at a church. So you should be, you know, they want you to preach or they want you to do, like, they're not looking at you as a regular artist. They're not looking at you as someone that's presenting good art to people. They want to look at you as a preacher with a microphone. You're on the altar. So they're automatically equating you as a preacher or a pastor or some type of elder or deacon, regardless of what you think. I'm not that person. I tell people straight up, you don't want me as a deacon or a preacher or nothing like that, because I'm not that dude. Like, I got too much skeletons in my closet. I'm not that dude. You don't want to do that. And I don't want to do that. And I don't want to take advantage of. I wouldn't even want to take advantage of a church either. You know what I mean? Like it's just not the right fit for me. So I would rather not do that. Just you know, from that. There's other reasons, but that's one of the reasons.
Word. Go ahead, Doc. Were you ready?
Yeah. No. I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I wanted to, you know, so we're coming up almost on 5 months since you released the album My Own Worst Enemy. I'm sure you had to answer a lot of questions from people when you were doing press or promo when the album came out, but like with a little bit of space now between you and when the album came out, when you look back at it, what are you happiest about with how that project came about? Like when you look back at it, what is your, Like, what makes you smile? What makes you go, I'm glad that turned out that way?
I would have to say sonically how diverse it was.
Okay.
Because I felt as though it kind of captured the different sides or the different, you know, elements of tragic, you know, the artist. Like, I could do different type of things. Like you said, like you were talking about, how do you go from winter to doing something like more rippy rappy as well, I can't even remember, Happy People, you know, like somehow it all worked and it all meshed together and it was still able to be my sound. So I was happy about that. And I was happy that I was able to be completely honest on my album. And I thought, you know, people were gonna critique that aspect of it, but no one really did, so I'm not gonna act like, you know, I gotta do something special.
Yeah, and I mean, I ask that because I feel like, I mean, I know Armand and I are the same way when we make music, and I'm guessing you might have this as well. Like, artists are always so critical of their own stuff, right? So, like, we listen back to stuff that we've done years ago, and we're always just like, oh, I can't believe we did it that way. Or, like, I'll get even worse because I, you know, I'm typically Armand's engineer, so I'm like, oh, I can't believe we mixed this that way, and we get lost in the details. So, like,
right.
So, I don't know. I think sometimes it's good to look back and try to, like, not think about the negativity. Like, I don't want to ask you, like, what do you wish you could change? Because every artist would go down this list of, oh, I could have done this differently. But, like, I think it's important to look back and be like, yeah, that really worked.
Yeah. No, I'm happy with it. There's definitely certain elements that I wish I could go back and change. But overall, I'm really happy with the project. Like, yeah, people love the project.
Yeah, it was really successful for you.
Yeah, I think it's a good project, you know. I don't, like, my first project was horrible, in my opinion.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the second one with West, I think that was a great project. It was good for what it did at the moment. I don't know, I thought it was successful. It did what I really wanted to do is make sure that I don't know if that's the right term, but I don't know, branding my sound. Like, I wanted to make sure that people knew what my sound was overall and kind of condense it into this one project. I wanted to get that down. As an artist, I think it's important for you to have a sound, your own sound, you know? And not add, you know, not being all over the place. Like, not one day sounding like Drake, the other day sounding like, I don't know, Kendrick or, you know, whoever. I just wanted to have my own sound on this project. And that's something that I set out to do. I think it worked.
Yeah.
So I know we're sort of getting close to the end here. We're running out of a little bit of time. For somebody who's never really heard you before, like, so for someone who's listening to this podcast and they've never heard Tragic Hero before, like, I know you probably get, I'm trying not to make this so generic because this is such a generic, like, interview question, but it's more like for somebody who's never heard your music, like, why should they? Like, I'll just be really blunt about it. Like, why should someone go listen to Tragic Hero stuff?
Why would you want to? I mean, honestly, I think because there's if I'm thinking off the top, like, there's a good amount of people that are getting older that have enjoyed 90s hip hop, okay, the lyricism of 90s hip hop, and they're still in a mix of kind of like the new school stuff, like J. Cole, the Kendricks, you know, even a little bit of the turn up, like, you're still open to it. I think I'm like a hybrid of those two, like, generations, like the 90s and what we have now. So, and that's, I don't know if that's a good enough reason, but.
No, that's, I mean, I asked you.
That sounds like, that awkward pause says that it was horrible. But
no, it's not horrible. No, I mean, you know, if I asked Armand, hey, Armand, why should anybody give a crap about your music? Like, that's a terrible thing to ask somebody.
Yeah, no, that's a good question, though.
Because if you don't, you're stupid.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you don't like me, then you're probably a child. If you don't like my music, you're a child. You're an entitled child. That's that.
Yeah, and
I think a lot of my music is relatable. Honestly, I don't speak about anything crazy. You know, I really speak on, like, real issues, stuff that I really went through. So. And I know a lot of people say to me, like, man, you had a lot of stuff going on. But if I talk to regular people, like, that's normal for a lot of us, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about it on the track.
I know that, you know, it's coming up to the end of the year, and My Own Worst Enemy's definitely on my top 10 for the year, like easily and high too.
Wow.
It's
I'm kind of disappointed.
Huh?
Kind of disappointed. Should be top three.
Ah, you
top three, bro. Top three. Come on, man. Top three.
Man, did you make something as good as To Pimp a Butterfly, son?
No, I didn't. I did not do anything near as thought out as that, bro. No.
Yeah.
So I'm cool with top 10 right now.
Yeah. I was really, I was surprised. I text you on the 4th of July. I was listening to it in my dad's house. Because people kept hitting me up like, yo, stop putting it off. Listen to Tragic's album. And I sat in the room and like just took 45 minutes out, listened to the whole thing. And I was shocked. Like, I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know it was going to be that good. Yeah.
That's
what, man. But it's junk crazy. So, yeah, if you're listening to the show and you've not heard Tragic Hero or heard My Own Worst Enemy, highly suggest you hit your favorite digital retailer.
All right.
and check that out ASAP, because it's definitely worth your time.
And if you want, you can just go to my website and actually get the physical copy.
Boom.
That's all. That also works. If you're like me, I love having CDs. The last CD I actually bought was the Odyssey CD, and I still have it in my car, and I still play it like every day.
Yeah, you and Taylor has, y'all have been huge advocates for that Odyssey album. We have some listeners who are dying for us to review that album on the show. Like,
bruh, you need to. It's a great album. I haven't even like overanalyzed it that way. I just know I ride it every day. I ride with it every day. So it's a great album, bro. Seriously. Y'all need to review it. Doc, have you heard it?
No.
Bro, you'll love it. If you love the type of hip hop that it seems like we kind of all enjoy the same type of hip hop. I think you guys will really appreciate that album. You really will. Seriously. You cannot be a respected podcast until you actually until that album. I'm just being honest with you. You want to gain the people's respect, you got to listen to the Odyssey, bro.
It's a
good album, bro.
I mean, now we kind of have to. I have to at least listen. Yeah, Josh is calling me out on my own show.
Right. We heard a couple records on the ride back from the show, and it was I forgot the name of the one record, because all the records were like they were cool, but it was one in particular that Taylor played. It had like a beat switch about like 2.5 minutes in, and I was like, yeah, I need to check this out.
On Odyssey, listen, play the entire album you got to play that joint by yourself, like just on your own. Like I wouldn't be playing that with a bunch of people in the room. Like I would just sit there by yourself. I don't know, it's just one of those albums, bro.
You need some Armand time, just some you solo time. Just relax, light a candle, get some tea.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Well,
you got chill.
At that point, Joe's on like a Jodeci scene, a video. Okay. Okay, yeah, that's what you want to do. Yeah, sure. Be my guest.
That's not the vibe for Odyssey, huh? All right. So Tragic, I know you got to go. Armand, did you have anything else you wanted to ask him real quick?
Nah. I got all my questions out, man. I really just wanted to nerd out about sort of a different level of independent artistry that a lot of people don't touch on, putting together your own show and sort of, you know, the grustle, the grind and the hustle that people sort of talk about but don't really talk about. So I'm all out of questions. I'm straight.
Well, it's a refreshing talk, I'll tell you that much, because it's not typical that I talk to people about stuff like this. Like, people just ask about, like, oh, are you signed? You're like, no. Is your indie? Yeah. Oh, okay, so I guess you do stuff on your own. Yeah. So it's never in the detail, you know what I mean? So people don't really understand what that entails, you know?
So Tragic, we told people before that they should definitely go to your website to get the physical copy of your album, but where can people find you online in general?
Okay, so my website is www.iamtragichero.com. Make sure you subscribe to my email list. I will be posting exclusive content. Like, I'm going to post a recap of the video of the performance of that night first to the email list. You can find me on Twitter at iamtragichero, Instagram iamtragichero, Facebook I am Tragic Hero. What else? ChristianMingle.com. I am Tragic Hero.
Are you on Mi Gente?
Another one.
That's the question.
Mi Gente. Black people meet. I am Tragic Hero. I'm all over. Nah, but yeah, that's where you can find me, bro.
All right. Well, if Armand, you got anything else?
Nah. We just appreciate you on the show, and hope everybody has a happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
And we'll see y'all next week, right?